Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to everybody on this first Sunday of Lent. Welcome everybody here in the sanctuary and anybody who is tuning in on YouTube. Any announcements this morning? It's on.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, now it is.
Mark and I are going to the celebration of life this afternoon for Christopher Fitzgerald. Sylvia Hilmer is going with us, and we have room for two more in the back seat if somebody else is interested in going and didn't want to try to figure out where the church is. I think Mark's got it.
Any others?
Just a quick reminder for Ministry Council, we have a quick meeting after church.
And for the call to worship, would you turn to your bulletins and let's read it as it is printed here. Temptation surrounds us every day. Opportunities to stray litter our path. Though we stumble and fall, God's mercy picks us up. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, for God's love meets us here. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we are constantly bombarded with temptations. When we yield, when we fail, it is you, Lord, that comes to our aid. You teach us and guide us in the ways we should go. And we thank you for your unfailing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's sing hymn number 41 in your blue hymnals. Come Thou Almighty King, and let's stand, please.
Thank you.
join me in the prayer of confession? Lord, Lord, our desire for control has separated us from you. We confess to the Lord. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, our slate is clean. We are free to follow Jesus in obedience and experience love in every test. Amen. Let's join in singing hymn number 553, I Am Weak and I Need Thy Strength. 553, and let's please stand.
Thank you.
Our first scripture this morning is from Genesis 2, verses 15 to 17, and then chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and it's on page 2 of your pew Bibles. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you surely will die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will surely not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Thank you. Let's bow for the offering prayer. Merciful One, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Lord, we ask your blessing upon this offering, for many are hungry and need food, many are naked and need clothes, and many are homeless and need shelter. As these gifts are used in the world, may they reflect the depths of our gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As usual, the offering plate is back in the back of the sanctuary, or you can mail your gifts to the church. Our second scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, and it's found on page 682 of your pew Bibles. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you here and at home. My preaching schedule has been really wonky lately, it seems like it's been a long time since I've been here. So it's great to be back. I have missed all of you. I love this church so much. So it's great to be back. I also love these scripture passages we have today. I mean, I love all of scripture, but these are special. Particularly special. They're so foundational to our relationship with God and our roles as disciples and our salvation. So first we have God and the human in the garden, where God tells Adam where to get nourishment from. All the trees, all the many, many trees, except one. I mean, God has created the human, settled him in this beautiful garden, and provided almost everything the human could ever want or need, except one thing. God says, "It is not good that the human be alone." It is the only not good statement in creation, to be alone. So God makes another human so that the two can be companions in the garden. Now, we don't know exactly what happened between Genesis 2 and 3, except that in 2, God was with the humans, and in 3, the two humans are with someone entirely different. The most intelligent of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made, the snake. But the two humans without God don't fare so well. And isn't it curious that Eve seems to be by herself here? Where is Adam at first? Where is he? She's alone. And they're incomplete without each other and without their maker, who loves them. And in that state of aloneness, they make a very bad decision. So now we have the two humans and a snake in the same garden, and the snake has beguiled the humans and convinced them to eat the poisonous fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the one that God told the humans not to eat. See, Adam and Eve were supposed to carry God's command inside them, even in God's physical absence. Like before that, they were walking through the garden together with God. But they were supposed to keep that in them, but they didn't. So when tempted, they picked the fruit from the wrong tree. Fast forward to Matthew, and where we've got Jesus in the wilderness. Not a beautiful garden overflowing with fruit and nuts and milk and honey, no. But a barren, dangerous desert. And Jesus is hungry. He's physically hungry. He has no food. But he is not running on empty. Humans don't live by bread alone. Far from it. He has everything he needs. He has everything he needs. There's no food in his body, but what is inside him is the Holy of Holies, God's sacred provision. He picked the fruit from the right tree. That's all he needed. The fruit of God's Holy Spirit is all Jesus needs to get by. This time in the wilderness is just before Jesus is about to start his 3-year ministry. And sometimes people see this as a period of Jesus' training, of preparing himself for what's ahead. And while that is probably true, it's also to prove a point, to show Satan who's boss. Jesus' sacrifices, whether it's hunger or death, are always for us. To reverse what went wrong, to offset the effects of us picking the fruit from the wrong tree. This is why Jesus is sometimes referred to as the new Adam, a new model for us to follow, a new foundation for humanity, one who by default carries the Creator's commands in him wherever he goes. Why? Because Jesus is God. Enfleshed. Jesus cannot be without God's desires because Jesus is God incarnate. Now, it's interesting that at Pentecost, after Jesus died and resurrected, he gave something to all his disciples that they needed in order to pick the fruit from the right tree going forward into their ministries. He gave them the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The one thing that, when they were tempted, would keep them safe, help them make better choices and save them, even when they made mistakes, which they would definitely make. And this gift has been passed down to us as believers, so that if we goof, which we will, it is not the end of the world, like it was for Adam and Eve. The thing is, we have to continually turn to God every second of every day. That means we have to use our minds to remember and know what Jesus would do in our situation in any given moment. And we have to remember and know that our bodies are God's new temples filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have to remember and know that our spirits feel at home with God's Holy Spirit. Like meets like. And through our spirits, we can be one with God and with each other, body, mind, and spirit. But there are so many distractions. Like I always say, look over here, right? That's our world. And that snake is so persistent and so smart. And the fruit on that one tree we are not supposed to eat from seems like it would be so delicious. And if we're alone, it's very tempting. We don't have a lot of strength. What to do? Ironically, the way we can resist all of this is to empty ourselves of the earthly food and earthly temptations. Because when we empty ourselves of these things, God inside our temples is all that's left. Like Jesus in the wilderness, we make the best decisions when we allow ourselves to be filled with God and leave ourselves open and vulnerable to be under the care of God's angels. To that end, we're going to talk about fasting. And I know we don't often like to talk about that. But we're going to talk about it so that we can make this Lenten season a time of salvation and have confidence that we're picking the fruit from the right tree. At Pentecost in Acts 2:17, when the Holy Spirit is in the disciples, they were prepared to embark on their commission. But it wasn't until after fasting and prayer, and the laying on of hands of fellow believers, that they were sent off into their ministries. The fasting, praying, and the laying on of hands, that's what readied them for what was ahead, just like Jesus in the wilderness. And this brings us to today, right here and right now, over 2,000 years after the original disciples were commissioned. And we are still seeing wars, shootings, stabbings, disease, poverty, family collapse, widespread loneliness, apathy, unbelief, faith deconstruction, and more. And this is not to say that there isn't beauty and love if we look for it, but we are certainly not in paradise, are we? We are not in that garden now. In fact, it feels a lot like a wilderness sometimes, doesn't it? But we're supposed to be God's imagers helping to bring about God's kingdom here on earth, right now. So what could our little church do to bring Christ's salvation to all of these big problems? How could we possibly impact all of these terrible things? It feels like too much. Spend even 5 minutes watching the news and you will know it is too much. It is overwhelming. How do we move forward? What is our approach? With Jesus in the wilderness as our model, we do not have to feel helpless. And I invite you to a time of fasting and praying and the laying on of hands in fellowship. Many of you have heard some of this teaching before, but fasting and praying are practices. They're spiritual practices. They're actions we have to repeat because when we do, we learn new things each time. We get better and better. Practice makes perfect. So in the Bible, fasting is generally prompted by three things or a combination thereof. Number one, a sacred moment or call, that sense that God is calling us. Number two, a disaster, something terrible happens. Or number three, when we're turning from sin, when we are trying to repent and turn to God and do God's will. So are we in number one, number two, or number three right now? Are we on all three right now in this time in history? I would say yes. I would say this is a sacred moment and a call at this time for all believers. I would say we have disasters everywhere. And I would say, yes, this is our time to turn to God for help, to not stand alone in the garden. And when we see fasting in the Bible, there is a need for major change. Do we feel like there is a need for major change in the world and in our region here? A reset or a reboot? Like when your computer has a problem and you turn it off and you turn it back on and voila, the problem is fixed. Fasting is a way to engage our whole selves in a deeply spiritual practice, body, mind, and spirit. So what kinds of fasting do we see in Scripture? The first is personal fasting, which we keep private. We use this practice when we personally need an answer from God or God's guidance on something. We can do this at any time during the year. And our goal is to assure that our will is aligned with God's will. Because when we're hungry, we replace that hunger with prayer and scripture. It's a time when we can calm ourselves down, empty ourselves out, and hear God's still small voice. The second kind of fasting is corporate fasting, and this is the kind of fasting that we do together. It's typically done on Jewish High Holy Days and Lent, the season we're in now, but it can be done at any time as an act of repentance or turning to God or seeking God's will together. Corporate fasting can help answer specific questions, open ourselves to God's will. And when answers come, they must be consistent with what Scripture tells us. And as with personal fasting, when we're hungry, we replace that hunger with prayer, Scripture reading, and the kingdom grows. A few things that biblical fasting is not. And I think some of these things are ideas that we grew up with when we think about fasting. Fasting is not giving up something you enjoy. It is giving up something you need. We are supposed to be dependent on God. Fasting requires a physical connection, just as Jesus tells us, one does not live by bread alone. Like, we're supposed to feel the hunger or feel the absence of something, something we need. Fasting is not about giving up something you're addicted to. And in that case, you have to deal with the addiction. That's a whole different matter. Fasting is not for people with eating disorders or health conditions that would preclude that. So we have to be careful. Choose wisely. Fasting is a holistic practice that involves our body, our mind, and our spirit. It has to involve all three. That's how God made us. Fasting makes us vulnerable, helps us seek God from a place of emptiness, of weakness. Fasting is an act of privilege because we can't fast if we have nothing to give up. We recognize this privilege and this blessing as we have so much we can give. Fasting causes discomfort because it deprives us of what we need. And this deprivation forces us to depend on God and God alone, as well as our fellowship of believers, each other. Just as Jesus did in the wilderness for 40 days. So when we fast together, each person can choose the kind of fasting that is best. We can each choose something different. It doesn't have to be the same thing. Some might eat less food or no food or fewer meals a day. Some may turn down the heat when it's cold or turn off the AC when it's hot. Some might sleep less on purpose. Some may go old school and wear something uncomfortable, like sackcloth, which was made of like goat fur stuck into us. So like a stone in the shoe, maybe, or something scratchy. If you want to put ashes on your heads, by all means do. We did that on Wednesday. And if you're wondering, yes, this is where we get the tradition of putting ashes on our heads for when on Ash Wednesday. So there are two things we do during a fast. First, we repent. Repentance has two phases. It is a turning away from something, from that poisonous fruit on the tree that we're not supposed to eat from, and a turning toward something with others, with other believers. So repentance simply means we are turning and facing God directly to say, God, I am sorry for all the ways I've fallen short of your expectations of me, for the ways I haven't lived out my potential and used my gifts for the kingdom, for the ways I've missed your mark. I'm sorry for the times I've listened to the snake God and not you. I'm sorry for when I picked the fruit from the wrong tree. But this apology, it has to be accompanied by an act of repentance, an act of removing the problem. We have to repair. For example, burning our idols. We've all got lots of idols that we pay attention to every day. Our stuff, our money, our worries. We could probably name thousands of them. This is why Jesus tells us, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. We are not literally talking about our real eyeballs. But putting down these idols, these things that distract us, right? We're supposed to listen to God's Holy Spirit in us, to know that we are not alone in the wilderness, and to be strong and turn away from the snake. So when the snake tries to give us the fruit from the wrong tree, we can say, no, no, thank you. Go away. Get out of here. Now that we've turned in the right direction, the second thing we do during a fast is replace. We replace our physical need with prayer and scripture reading. Repenting and replacing draw us closer to God and help us to discern God's will. So how do we discern what comes to us? We can record what arises, like maybe in a journal or a diary. We might meet with each other to discuss what's coming to us. In either case, we are looking for agreement with like resonance, consensus among believers. Because that's what indicates God's presence, God's agreement with us. Does fasting glorify God? Well, not in and of itself. Fasting alone glorified God, we would all starve to death. It's alignment with God's will that we're aiming for. And this practice of fasting is an essential part of growing our relationship with God. Because of this, we should gain revelation from it. We should ask for and expect answers from God during fasting. If we ask a question and receive no answer during a time of fast, we may need to discern the question further, maybe even ask a different question, because there will be answers. If we don't hear them, we might not be listening, or we might be resisting God's will, because God always speaks. We may not always hear. So how do we hear God? We can journal. Just sit down and write what comes to you. These are daily spiritual practices that we can all participate in. We can be aware of spontaneous thoughts. My conference friend Noel Santiago talks about hearing God's voice. It's kind of like toast popping up out of the toaster. Like, boom, this is the signal I always use. Like, when I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, it comes from A to Z. It is a full-fledged idea, thought, like, I got it, whoosh, right across my head at one time. Have any of you experienced that? Be aware of it, because the more you're aware of it, I think the more those thoughts come. So to attune to God's voice helps to be still and quiet for a period of time. We may receive waking visions or dreams. And when we do, we should record those visions and dreams. And keep paper next to your bedside table. Tell somebody your dream after you've had it. See if you can interpret it together. Spend time in scripture, because that helps us to attune to God's voice. Read the Bible, memorize passages, study it, discuss it, share the good news. Raise your voice on God's behalf. And set aside adequate time for undistracted prayer, just being with God. We talked today in our Bible study, just sometimes you just need to stay in bed for a few extra minutes, pull the covers up over your head, and just spend the time with God. Just pray. You may even want to pray out loud to God. That's a whole different way of prayer. Sometimes when I'm cleaning house, I talk to God out loud. God hears. So when we're in the wilderness, we are not powerless. Just the opposite, and like Jesus, we can give up something we need to depend on God instead. We can involve our bodies and our minds and our spirits in the worship of God every day. We can ask and we can expect answers. We can align with God's will. And we can stop picking the fruit from the wrong tree and pick the fruit from the right tree. And I hope you'll accept this invitation to fast with me during this Lenten season. And as disciples, our world and our region needs it. I don't know if you have seen this headline. Leader rescinds okay after school Satan Club rentals. Our region needs it. We need prayer. Our prayer is powerful. Watch the news and you will know how much you are needed as disciples, how much we have to empty ourselves and fill ourselves with God so that we know what to do to build the kingdom. I will put the Fasting 101 cheat sheet in the Monday email so you can look for that. Just know that this call is urgent. It is urgent in this time of Lent. And if you have any revelations or interesting experiences to share along the way, please reach out to me, to each other, any fellow believers. Let's do this together. And let's also remember that we are a growing community of believers who have more at our disposal than we could ever imagine. So this morning, we're going to join our Zionsville Ministerium sisters and brothers in praying this wilderness prayer, which is in your bulletins. Let's turn to that now. Let's pray. Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing, He Leadeth Me, in your hymn book number 599. Yay! Just needed a little singing and praise. Let's share our joys and concerns. I am joyful that the microphone is working again. Any joys and concerns to share?
I just thought I'd share a joy. Our journey over the past couple years with, when COVID hit, we went on Zoom, and then eventually we did switch to YouTube. We had some discussion. I had just figured out how to use my fancy digital camera to set it up as a webcam so we could capture the image of the person at the pulpit. And Jeff Tapler had been pushing for us to get he was pushing for us to have an online ministry, and we didn't know if we wanted to continue with that. We did decide we would continue with that, and he had given us some equipment that we could get that would be better. And I kind of hesitated on getting it, and then with his cancer journey, I was hoping, I think, that he would be better to help me with it, because I'm not as technical as people think I am. and then unfortunately he passed, and I did go through it. You know, I'm like, for Jeff, I got to do this. It was my motivation. And we now have a fancy camera up there on the ledge, which hopefully gives a better image than what we had before. And I think it's much better transitioning from one image to another. We have three people that are viewing from home that we got some feedback with, and I thank them for that. We might need to do a little bit of work on the sound aside from the microphone, the humming, but anyhow, it's my joy that we got it working. And the one feedback I got is that with this camera we can see a few more people than just the front couple rows. So you all may not like that, but people do like to see at least the back of people's heads.
We're thankful to Jeff for that gift.
This is nothing new as far as prayer requests, but I forgot to mention earlier, I cut out a lot of articles about Christopher Fitzgerald out of the Allentown Morning Call. You have probably seen a lot on news, which I have not seen, but I brought in the articles so you can compare. The articles are downstairs in the library on the library table if you're interested in seeing anything that was in the paper.
My sister was taken to the hospital this week. She's been having some pains, and she's been very confused about things. She can't really hold a conversation. They're thinking maybe her medicine needs to be changed, that was causing it. So they took her off all the medicine that she was on at the nursing home, and put her on some different medicine. But now they're going to try to reintroduce that medicine again and see what it does. But Tom says all she can do is answer real quick a yes or a no. But anything she has to think about, she can't come up with it. So,
any other joys and concerns to share? Pray with me. Abba, thank you for the ways you strengthen and prepare us in this wilderness to keep building your kingdom. Help us to empty ourselves and turn to you and only you, and to keep picking the fruit from the right tree. Now, as we align our wills with yours, hear the prayers of your people in this moment of silence. We pray also, as you call us to, for our enemies, that they be blessed, for the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed to be fed and uplifted, for peace where there is war and violence, for our children, youth, and young adults, that they thrive, for our region, that it be blessed, for the sick, that they be healed, for our earth and all its creatures, that they be healthy, for the leaders of our institutions, that they be kind, wise, and guided by love, for workers of all kinds, that they find rest and fulfillment, for this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets, that we live in a continued state of blessing. Abba, we love you so much and are thankful you gave us Jesus as our model. So we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our blessing. During this Lenten season, I invite you to try the practice of fasting in some way, either alone or together, as a powerful addition to your prayer life. Go in peace, and let's keep picking the right fruit from the right tree. Let's sing, "The Lord Lift You Up," and sing "The Journey," number 73.